Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello everyone and happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those who are in the LA area, our calling number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, especially those right here in the absolutely beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, the calling number is toll-free 877-697-9725. And producer Kina will be opening up the chat room, and so you can hang out in there, and I will be logging into the chat room after the show. So there are a lot of factors in life that determine our self-image, what we look like, how old or young we are, how much wealth we have, or what type of work we do. There's a lot of different ways that, you know, we kind of decide how we fit into our society, into our communities. And today, we're going to be talking about self-definition. And basically, that's how you define yourself. And often we define ourselves in relationship to what other people believe about us. And the main judgments that can affect us the most are the reactions of those who mean the most to us. And so today we're going to be looking at how we can basically refuse the projection of others and at the same time embrace valid observations. The term used to be constructive criticism, which I have a little bit of an issue with because we're still putting criticism in there. I prefer to say observations. And when we're in relationship with people, whether it is, you know, observations based on our health, our lifestyle, whatever, the idea that if people are close to us and if we're close to them, there should be space in that relationship to say, you know what, I noticed this and you might want to do something about that, or this particular part of your life concerns me. And as a doctor in my practices and my work as a healer, as a counselor, often people will give me a certain level of authority, as we usually do to the people that we go to for help, whether it's, you know, physical help, whether it's emotional help, whether it's fixing your car, whatever. The idea is certain people are given a little bit more authority to make these observations. Now, I am probably one of the hardest possible car owners. I am not huge on regular maintenance. That's something I'm working on. I need to get better at that. But pretty much I can run a car into the ground. It'll last a long time, but eventually it may get there. So if I go to a mechanic and that mechanic looks at me and says, you know, you're going to need to change how you do this, which they have. You need to do the regular maintenance. You need to do this. You need to do that. You're not maintaining your car well. Well, I'm going to consider that a very valid observation because this person has a level of expertise. When people come to me and they're talking about certain physical issues that they're having, you know, maybe it's, you know, issues with body pain, and maybe those issues are based on the fact they're not getting enough exercise, I am given a level of authority to make observations. Well, because of these particular lifestyle habits you have, it makes it very difficult for you to achieve the physical goals that you want to achieve. So those are going to the lifestyle habits are going to have to shift in order to get what you want, which is a wonderful thing, and I do hold that as a very special and kind of sacred thing that I'm given that trust. I could probably tell someone about a lifestyle habit they have that they will accept it hearing from me, but they may not accept it hearing from their family or their friends. But because I'm in a place of I've got a little bit more information on how this affects them, they're willing to listen to me. And often when we look at the people closest to us in our lives, if they express displeasure or disappointment, it really cuts a little bit deeper than, you know, say someone that we really aren't that concerned how they feel about us. It's like, well, that's just their opinion. But when somebody's close, there's a little bit more intensity to disappointing. And that can trigger a lot of things. It can trigger anger. It can trigger resentment. It can trigger fear. So when we think about how other people are defining us and how we're allowing other people to define us as to what we do and how we walk this world, it's important to remember that you don't have to accept a projection that somebody else gives you. You can consider it. You can look at it and say, okay, is there anything valid in that? And that's that piece where you really have to be very honest with yourself. Is this valid? Does this have something, you know, that I really need to pay attention to? If you look at it and you say, nope, that does not resonate with me at all, then you can disregard it and go on. Now, do people like having their suggestions disregarded? No, they do not. And especially if it's someone like a family member or a tremendously close friend, if you, you know, hear what they have to say and go, you know what, I don't think that resonates with me, but, you know, thank you for your concern. That's not going to be met with a lot of joy. It usually will be the beginning of a fairly long, drawn-out conversation of, oh, you're not listening to me, you're in denial, you just don't want to hear the truth, and all this other stuff. Ultimately, you decide what your reality is. And whether that's good, bad, or otherwise, you have to be able to stand in your own authority and say, you know what? I am not who you think I am. And one of the, you know, the big pieces of this, and, you know, in my own life, I went through raising my sons, and it was, you know, I did the best I could and they did the best they could. And one of the things during a particularly stressful time was that I would be told I did not accept them for who they were, that I wanted to change them, and if I didn't accept them, that meant I didn't love them. And I had to really sit with that. Because my first reaction was to say, you know what, that's a cop-out, you're just not doing what you need to do, and you need to do this, this, and this. I had to take a look at, am I trying to turn them into something that I want them to be? Am I not accepting who they are? And if somebody says this to you, and usually it's a teenager, but, you know, it can be almost anybody. Just accept me for who I am. And I do recall having that exact same feeling many times in my life. That, you know what, I'm not going to fit into the little box that you want me to fit into, so can't you just accept me for exactly who and what I am? And we really want that. That is something that helps us feel safe, is to feel that no matter how out of the box we may be, that we're still accepted, that we can still count on our loved ones loving us even when they don't understand us. So by defining who you are, the piece in that will be, and sometimes it's a very challenging piece, that you will choose to be who you believe you are in that moment, because we are all evolving, we're all changing, but who you are in that moment has to be good enough. And it has to be good enough even if somebody else thinks it isn't. And that can be a very challenging thing. That can, you know, maybe you've got a few people telling you, no, you should not be this way. Now, if you've got a bunch of people telling you that, you might want to take a look at it and go, you know what, maybe that is a life change I need to make. Because, and especially if these are people, all of whom love you, and you know they love you. And if you can balance, okay, are they just trying to control me? Are they trying to change me? Do they think that I need to be different in order to be happy? Two, well, maybe I have some valid changes that I need to make. And that's a part of embracing the valid observations to be able to open yourself up to, is there a change I do need to make? Often we may have habits and ways of being that may not be really good for us. And it comes down to somebody caring about us enough to say, you know what, this might upset you. I know you're not going to like hearing this. And this particular pattern is very destructive for you. And I'm seeing it, and I'm really worried, and I'm very concerned as to where this is going. Being able to take a breath, take a moment, and say, you know what, maybe I need to look at that. Often in cases of substance abuse or of, you know, basically just behavior patterns that are not good for you. If you find that your life is constantly in chaos and people are saying, you know what, your life is in chaos because of these particular things that you're doing, I don't consider that judgment or projection. Those are valid observations. Now, ultimately, how valid the observation is depends on you. It depends on what you, how much power you want to give to that. How much trust do you have in that person? Because if somebody tells you, you know what, you really need to change this, and you don't trust their motives, yeah, you're going to think twice about it. You're going to say, well, maybe I shouldn't listen to this person because they've demonstrated that I can't really trust them. If it's coming from someone who has demonstrated that they are there for you, and that, you know what, if you want to continue this, that's your choice, and I will make choices based on that, but know that no matter what, I will still love you. And that's as important to hear as it is to say. We all have folks in our lives who we look at and say, you know what, you need to make some changes in your life. At the very least, I would say probably the vast majority of us know at least one person who has patterns that do not serve them. Maybe, you know, it's somebody who gets involved with in romances that really aren't good for them, and they have a pattern of choosing very negative people or people that aren't going to help them move forward. That's a pattern that if somebody made the valid observation, you know what, maybe you need to look at why you're choosing to bring in people into your life that are hurtful to you. Totally valid. Or if you have a situation where, you know, you have somebody maybe who's involved in a certain substance abuse, those can be tremendously hard. You know, that's called an intervention. And if the person is determined to continue their pattern, the people who are there basically have to be able to make the choice, you know what, then God bless, the best for you, but you will not be able to do that around us. We will not allow that. So you need to be able to make other choices and make other arrangements because you can't do that and continue to be here. I know of a lot of folks who have, you know, the phrase used to be tough love. And that, you know, if the kids were acting up or if somebody was acting out, you say, all right, you leave the house, or, all right, you can't stay here, or I'm not going to interact with you until you change your attitude. And that is a part of also establishing that self-definition. You are defining for yourself where your boundaries are, because boundaries are a big part of defining ourselves. If we don't have any boundaries, then it really doesn't matter who we decide we are, because then we're going to change anytime anybody tells us to. And often it's not popular, you know, say in the role of a parent who decides, that they feel that what they have to say is what's best for you and what they want you to do. And you kind of catch a lot of flack for not being what they want you to be because they believe that's the way that you're going to be happy. Or at the very least, it's going to make them happy for you to behave in a particular way. Well, at some point, every ego leaves the nest. At some point, every creature goes out on its own. And sometimes the ego leaves with a push. And there are times when they just realize that it's their time. But one way or another, everybody has got to be able to step up into their own personal authority. They have to decide who they are and how they're going to walk in this world. And when you're that person, that is very scary to suddenly find yourself kind of put out there. But that doesn't mean you have to do it without any help. Guidance is a wonderful thing. And you can get guidance from people that you trust to say, okay, I need to do this, I don't know how to do this, and my choices so far haven't gotten me there. Then if you trust the person and you say, okay, what is it that you suggest I do? And as long as it stays in that suggestion and not, no, you have to do this, well, my suggestion to you would be this, this, and this. When I have people come to me as patients and they tell me that their bodies aren't doing what they want and they're not able to have the lifestyle they want, and they ask, what can I do? I go through and I say, all right, here's where you're at now. Here's what I observe. If you want to get from point A to point B, then here are the things that I recommend you do. I don't believe that even as a doctor, I have the right to tell somebody what they have to do. They're paying me, therefore I am their employee. And they're paying me for my best guidance and my best suggestion and my best information as to how they can achieve what it is they want to achieve. So maybe my suggestion would be, you know, okay, well, you know, you need to see a nutritionist, you need to get yourself on some really good supplements, you need to exercise, or maybe the conversation is, you know, based on what's going on, you are not going to be able to achieve what it is that you want to achieve. Let's figure out how to get you as close as possible. It's not about me judging them. It's not about me, you know, not wanting them to do what they want to do. It's just in my observation place as a witness to what they're going through, I end up being the person to say, well, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. And there's a lot that you can do. And could I be wrong? Yes, I could. And that's going to be up to the person. If they decide, nope, I want to run a marathon in a month and I'm going to do it, and even though she, Dr. Eileen, said that I couldn't, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, good luck and God bless. And if they come to me afterwards and say, oh my gosh, it was wonderful and it was, you know, it had a tough point but I was okay, hey, great. And if they come back and they're racked in pain and they can barely walk and I have to tell them, it's like, well, I'm sorry, you're going to be, you know, probably off of your training regime or you won't be able to do the things you like to do or go dancing for several weeks because your body's got to heal. I'm not defining them. I'm not saying that, you know, that they were wrong to do it because I wouldn't. It was their choice. It was their free choice. All I do is make suggestions. My recommendation is this. If they're going to go ahead and do it anyway, well, then we'll deal with the repercussions afterwards. I'm not going to tell them that I'm not going to see them as a patient because they didn't follow my instructions. It's their life. And the same way that I want other people to define themselves as far as what it is they want to do, what it is they want out of life, and how they want to walk in this world, I will not allow anybody else to define me, because there's always people who are very happy to tell others everything that's wrong with them, everything that's right with them, and what they should be doing. That doesn't allow you to feel empowered. And it's really important for each person to be able to decide for themselves what it is they want, what it is they're doing, and how they want to be in this life. And maybe I disagree, maybe I don't, but that's not my place to judge. And it really isn't anyone's place to judge. Now, the other part of self-definition, it's all wonderful. You decide your own fate, you decide who you are and what you're doing, and that nobody else gets to tell you who you are and what you do. That is awesome. And part of that is that that means you are responsible for the choices you make. It's very difficult to, on one hand, ask your family, friends, and loved ones, it's like, all right, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, and you have to accept it. And then go back and say, well, you need to do this and this and this to support me, and you need to do that. No, they don't. You made those choices, possibly without their suggestion. That's when the other part of the self-definition comes in. It's self-ownership. It's saying, okay, I set this particular sequence into motion. I made these choices, I acted on it, and this is what happened as a result. No one else is responsible for that but you. When I make choices about doing things and I say, okay, I've looked at the consequences, I've looked at the risk, I'm going to do it anyway. And if it ends up going badly, that is my choice. It was my decision. I'm not going to hold anybody else responsible for what I choose, because everything comes with a consequence. I mean, in some ways you could say everything comes with a price, but we could always reword that as a consequence, cause and effect. So that means that if you make a decision of independence and autonomy, understand that a part of independence and autonomy is that if something doesn't go quite right, you got to deal with it. Having others hold the consequences for what we choose, well, it may work for a while, but it's not going to work for long. And you really don't want it to. Even when it gets tough, even when it gets hard, even when it gets scary, by reminding ourselves, no, this is what I wanted. This is what I chose. And if I need to step back and reevaluate what it is that I'm doing, what it is that how I'm defining myself, because that's always very fluid. You know, depending on what our life experiences are, where we are in our stage of life, what our work is, all of these things determine how we define ourselves. So it's a very fluid thing. And if you've reached a place where by defining yourself, you kind of painted yourself into a corner and you created a situation where, wow, I did not see this coming, there's no saying that you can't change it. You can redefine yourself. Well, that this way, and I'm going to be this, you know, I'm going to be that, and until it stops working for me, then I'm going to do something else. But whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you choose, at least arrange for a backup that you can have somebody. It's like, yep, I chose it. I did it. It didn't work quite as I planned. And it's like, okay, well, what did you learn from it? Now what do you want to do? That's the kind of support. Not somebody who will say, you messed up, I told you not to do that, and you did it, and this is what you get, ha ha, I was right. That's not the kind of support that you need. That doesn't allow you to help to continue to define yourself and grow into yourself. If somebody had told me 20 years ago that my life was going to be what it was, or what it became and what it is now, I probably would have believed that they were wrong. I would have figured that, you know, they did not know me at all. The way I defined myself 20 years ago is completely different from the way I define myself now. It didn't mean that I was wrong then. It just meant that that was the space that I was in. And it doesn't mean that I'm wrong now. It just means that I changed, I shifted, I moved forward. I allowed that who I was 20 years ago was perfect. And who I am now is perfect. And who I will be 20 years from now is going to be, well, I can't wait. Because I know that whoever I am at that point, it's probably going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be enjoying myself. And I will have a foundation of all the other ways that I define myself as a growing being, as I shift, as I evolve. Someone who loses a lot of weight. Through that whole process, you know, you may start off with one particular diet and one particular way of being and one particular level of exercise. Well, as the weight changes, that changes. The diet shifts with the change in the body. The level of exercise shifts with the change of the body. At each level, you are where you need to be, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to change. That shift isn't going to happen. So the person at the beginning of their diet program and at the end of it have two completely different self-definitions. And that's perfect. But it doesn't make either one wrong. It makes it an ability to change and be and to grow. And really, that is the ultimate expression of defining yourself, is to define yourself as an unfinished work of art. Going to be able to be perfectly you in any given point and then decide when it's time for an upgrade. You know, we all have those computers and, you know, every once in a while they want to upgrade because change happens. A computer and its programs are defined by very set parameters. And yet, it's recognized that new information comes in, things that can make it faster, things that can make it whatever. As far as I know, elves make my computer work. So, whenever anybody talks tech with me, it's like, oh, okay. But what I do know is that as a computer upgrades, as our phones upgrade, it's all about constantly improving. So we can do the same thing. We can define ourselves and yet leave that room for a growing, changing, shifting person. So define yourself as you embrace when those you love give you valid observations. And then when you take it all, decide what you want to do. And if it turns out that that's right in the moment, great. But always understand that it's going to change because everything does. So go out, define yourselves, enjoy yourself. Choose your way out of joy because, hey, that's pretty much the best thing we can do, is live every day that we can in a place of joy. So thank you for joining me on another Thursday. I will be back next week. And I'll be logging into the chat room, so if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can meet me there. If you would like to know more about me, then you can contact me through my website at www.the-healing-house.com. You can also send me an email at healinghouseradio@the-healing-house.com. So until next week, I wish you balance and I wish you blessing. I wish you self-determination, self-definition, and self-growth and all the wonderful things that go with it. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.